We're live. All right, guys. We're back. Episode 7. We've been gone for a hot minute. Turkey season just finally wound down here in the majority of the Southeast. Matter of fact, you just got done riding the Virginia horse. That pony come to an end. All you guys out there still making them Midwest swings and Northern swings, keep hammering at it. There's about, 15 days left, I think. It's March 15th or May 5th, May 19th. I think there's less than 15 days. Unless you up there in the June states, which ain't many, but it's been a heck of a season. And I can't forget, we got Mr. Richardson on the airwaves here, Mr. Caleb. He's been part of the scene. Ain't really been behind the scenes too much, but he's been part of the escapade this year, if that's what we're going to call it, because it's definitely been a turkey tour and a half. He got that thing stretched out, don't he?
I was making sure everybody could hear me.
Yeah, loud and clear. So, yeah, we're going to dive into this thing real quick. Before I do that, though, I'm not going to save this to the end because I always rush through it. Video stuff, I'm going to talk about it real fast for the YouTube. On the channel, I'm thinking I want some reviews on it through here, and I may do a thing. I was talking to y'all the other day, both of y'all, about doing it on our Instagram page. I don't know if I should be, you know, kind of handing them out through the summer if everybody wants to wait and then go into, you know, whatever. Deer season or just wait. I'm not trying to copy Dave. I talked about this in the last episode, but the reason I'm doing that is I've got so much to go through. I think me and you talked about this specifically the other day, Caleb. I think I got like 7 or 8 videos I got to pile through because we got youth season. Yeah. We got the regular South Carolina opener because we're going to post the videos that had no outcomes or no success. You got a tick on you right there. Mm-hmm. We're going to cut a tick.
Dying. Talking about turkey hunting.
He said that. Go sidetrack. His buddy's laid out of work right now with Rocky Mountain.
Yeah, he got
fever.
To Rocky Mountain.
He got bit.
Or no, he woke up Sunday morning 102 feet.
So y'all check yourselves because I ain't going to lie. Yeah. That was on a side note. Me and Caleb, we was in Washington. We collectively pulled off about 8 ticks cumulative at 4 on him and 4 on me. So keep yourself.
A bunch off of me.
Yeah, keep yourself checked up.
Came out of the woods feeling like a house cat.
Dude, I swear that one time when I found that one in my head, the rest of the week, I was like this. Like just scratch him my head. You got him cut.
Yep.
All right. We did our part on getting rid of a tick, but
he is no more.
Anywho, to the video thing. We got a couple videos, a good bit, and like I said, we're gonna go through.
I say we do it in like rabbit season.
Yeah, whenever. I mean, I can wait. We'll do them and you know, let them lay out towards the end of deer season, get everybody kind of warmed up going into turkey season. But again, we've got a pretty good pile of stuff. So I've got youth all the way through South Carolina opener, a bunch of NC stuff because me and Caleb put in some legwork this year in NC, and it's just going to be gritty, grimy, being amongst them, not killing turkeys, but, you know, just the true grit of it. I kind of got tired of just only doing the glorified stuff, and we let a lot of stuff lay under the radar that wasn't glorified, so we're going to give you the raw and real of it. And there's a good bit there, so you'll get to see all of Washington, what a little bit of Evan got with Blake when y'all were in South Carolina. So there's going to be a good bit coming up, so be on the lookout for that. But in the meantime, I'm going to talk about this with you two, why it's here. We need to come up with something, and we'll let the, you know, viewers give us some info back, and even on Instagram, kind of what they're wanting to see going into the summer. They want to see some spread setups. You know, we'll get to talking about that on a couple episodes coming up, you know, with Caleb on, you know, getting ready to go into early goose season here in North Carolina. We don't do a whole lot of dove hunting, deer season prep, you know, so kind of give us some ideas what you guys want to see going into deer season and in the summer, because there's a lot of stuff we could show people how to do, whether it be shooting bows, sighting in guns, climbing trees, whatever you want to see. So give us those reviews, you know, leave those comments, whatever you want to see, and we'll be more than glad to put it out. But the turkey hunting stuff, we're going to lay that out here on the air for all in agreeance. We're going to probably drop that stuff about February next year to get everybody kind of warmed into 2026, and then we'll just keep rolling on with that. Because, like I said, it gets to be so much now, I can't put it out as fast as we were doing.
And
so.
This year will be the only turkey season without video. Like, if we keep doing it, you
correct.
Know, we roll it this year.
Correct.
Then you watch that through this turkey season. Then next
correct.
Turkey season, we don't
yeah,
make
just,
more.
It always keeps you coming coming back for more,
yep.
if you will. So, yeah, while we're on that topic, let's just go ahead and dive into it. So, SC season wrapped up. Again, we're recording this. It's May 19th now. So, we're a week out from – or a week past North Carolina's closing. It went out May 10th. So, SC went out May 4th.
Third, yeah. Opened April 3rd, closed May 3rd.
May 3rd. Somewhere around May 3rd or May 4th.
May the 10th.
SC?
That's North Carolina.
North Carolina.
South Carolina was before
that.
That's right.
So it used to be May 1st, but this year it didn't open on April 1st.
Correct.
It opened on April 3rd.
Correct. Yeah. So they gave us a couple days extra. And I'm sorry if y'all hear the dogs in the background. Sarah's outside tending the garden. Anywho, SC, we peeled off SC. Go ahead and you dive on that because you were the last one to run a leg down there. I was about burnt out. Me and Kayla were hunting really, really hard here on some stuff, so dive in on that.
Wasn't much going on in North Carolina, so me and Blake stuck to South Carolina pretty heavy. After I killed mine, we went one whole weekend and never really got close to nothing. Not much happening. And then the weekend after that, so the second to last weekend, we went into a spot I hadn't been into a couple years, and we got too close to one on the limb by accident because he wasn't close to the road, but he was in a weird spot to be roosted in the late season on public land. So anyway, we got too close to him. We didn't, like, blow him off the roost, but we got too close where he wasn't going to do nothing. Mm-hmm. And so we hunted around, found some more turkeys, but didn't get on them. Well, the next weekend, this is the last day of season. And so I'll tell this story, like, in totality or whatever, it's quick. But so the next week, we went in there, and we're like, all right, we know he's right here somewhere. And he gobbled when we bumped him or, you know, messed him up. So we stopped short of that. But the problem was where he was roosted is where we needed to be to hear the rest of the property.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if he wasn't there, we needed to know pretty quick so we could keep walking.
That's right.
So we could hear the rest of it.
Yeah.
So we're standing there, nothing. And I was like, well, I guess, I mean, you know, he's right on this main road walking in. I said, you know, it's public land. Somebody probably killed him or he's done moved off somewhere. I said, but it's plenty daylight enough. Like, we need to get to the top of that next hill so we can hear the rest of this because it goes a long way in there. And I just didn't want to. Like, my gut said, just don't. But I was like, you know, this turkey's by the road. Screw him. Let's just go find another one. So I out-hooted one time. I told Blake, I said, I'm going to hoot one more time, or the only time I out-hooted. I said, I'm going to out one time, and we're just going to walk. He's like, all right. So I sat there a minute, nothing. Out-hooted, nothing. And we think we heard a turkey gobble where we were going to listen. So, like, that was even more confirmation we needed to get moving. We didn't walk from here to the dang road, and he was roosted, like, 20 yards off the ground. I mean, like a big mature pine. It had like one dead branch that hadn't fell off yet, like self-pruned in the shade, and he was sitting on it, and that big old black rascal just flew out of our lives. I mean, he was right there where we wanted him to be, and he flew off, and so we just had a minute there. And so then, well, you know, we were mad or whatever, and so we kept walking around. We got down in this big river bottom, and I called one time and struck a turkey, and he, like, double gobbled as soon as I called and was, like, already facing our direction. So we sat down, and there was a hen already nesting that kind of messed the situation up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that turkey knew she was there and knew, like, she was already on nest. So I don't know that the turkey necessarily wanted to come right there. And she came in off her left. Like, we were hid from where the turkey was coming. But she came in off her left just to, like, see what was going on. And kind of, she never boogered. She never putted or anything, but, like, she didn't like it. So she kind of went back up the hill. Well, the turkey got fairly close, almost gun range. Blake never could see him because he was, like, further down in the river bottom. But he got pretty close. And then he just drifted back off, but he kept gobbling. So the hen finally got out of the way. And so we just took off after him in the river bottom, you know, just kind of going tree to tree. And we got, like, halfway where we thought was halfway to him. And I called again, and he gobbled. He gobbled, still going the other way. And then we were moving to the next tree, and he gobbled on his own. He was already turned back around. So now we were in the river bottom with him. We called him all the way back down in there with us. And there was, like, one little bit of a roll. And I told Blake, because we were kind of in a bad spot, and it was maybe, I don't know, 10 yards. And there was, a big gum tree. I don't know, probably 18, 20 inches around. And I'm just going, like, right behind Blake. We were just going to sit behind the tree, you know. Because, like, it's bare ground in there.
There ain't nothing, bottom, yeah. Man. Ain't nothing in there.
And so we were going to have to be behind the tree. And we didn't have enough time to get up the hill in the pines. So I don't know how Blake didn't put his knee on him. And I don't know how in the world I didn't touch him. But we got to that tree, and that turkey's gobbling, coming. Like, he's done committed, turned back around. and Blake is literally 8 inches to the right, and I'm right behind Blake, and I put my hand down on the ground, and I get about the inch off of the top of a copperhead's head, and he's just laying there, and he's like coiled up, not like fixing to strike, but that's just the way he was laying, and his head is like laid over.
You sent me that picture.
The coals or whatever, and I jumped up like you shot me out of a cannon, and as soon as we got, I mean, if you've ever been around a copperhead, like, you can smell them. Mm-hmm. They stink. But
smell like cucumber.
Yeah. Well, once we got that close, we could smell him. But you couldn't smell him before we got there. Yeah. And so I jumped up. I was like, there's a freaking copperhead right here. You know, the turkey's like 80 yards. We just can't see him. And so Blake's like, Blake couldn't even see him. That's how good he blended in. Like, when I stood back up, I had, like, Blake's like, where is he at? And I was like, I don't know where he went. And so we finally found him. And literally from, like, me to Caleb, there's another little tree. And I was like, we're going to have to get to that other tree unless you're going to sit on top of him. And Blake's like, all right, you think we make it? I said, yeah. And Blake gets behind the tree, and I'm like going to the ground behind Blake, and I look up and I see that turkey running off. Mm. Like, if that copperhead wouldn't have been there, that was a dead turkey.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was ready to die.
You reckon if you could do it all over again, you'd have just toughed it out and hoped he moved on to sit there beside that snake?
No. That's out.
Brother, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. My turkey hunt would have ended the second I saw it with a boom.
That's what I told Blake. I was like,
you ain't a troubadour, son.
That's what I told Blake. I said, if I didn't have a shell that cost $10, I said, I'd kill him right now just cause.
Shoot, my underwear cost $10. Better off a shotgun shell of underwear.
Lord have mercy. God,
but I don't know how in the world I didn't touch him. So that was the end. Actually, I lied. That was the second to last weekend. The last weekend is when I went to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Blake went back in the same spot, and the roost turkey we messed up for the second time, never heard him again. And Blake went back in the river bottom because we kind of figured out what that turkey was doing because we'd heard him gobble the morning we bumped that turkey the first morning. So we kind of knew where he's at. So Blake, we thought we knew like where he was headed and the general pattern of what he was doing. So Blake went the last day and never got on him. So that was the end of that. And then
did he hear him or anything?
No, he never heard it. He heard some more further in there and went and hunted them, but they never did nothing. But he never heard that turkey. And to my knowledge, if that turkey in the river bottom would have gobbled at daylight, I think we could have heard him. But I'm not certain.
Because
I don't know. I mean, it was on up in the morning by the time we got down there, so I don't know how far he made it. But I don't think he went that far from when he flew down.
Yeah.
I think he was on that creek somewhere. And then North Carolina for me was quick because I hunted in South Carolina a bunch. Wasn't much going on in the mountains. There was one turkey on our property. Me and Dad played. I played cat and mouse with him a couple times. Dad played it with him. All year, never could catch up with him. And then, this is another funny story, real quick. So we have a property in the mountains. It's like, I don't know, 10 minutes away or whatever. And it's like there was some birds on it a couple years ago. And there's a bunch of turkeys over there. It ain't like population numbers, they just kind of like move around because it's all like a bunch of Christmas tree farms and it changes every year. So they move around. So there wasn't nothing over last year. So I went over there and roosted a turkey, but he was like off the property, but just like a little bit over the mountain. And like I knew I could get him back over there. So I go up there the next morning and couple birds gobbling on the roost that I could hunt. But I was already up there next to that turkey. And he is like, I don't know, 200 yards, but he's across like a little county road that's paved like with no lines on it. And he's right beside a Christmas tree farm and some hardwoods. And the hardwoods on my side of the road are property I can hunt. So, like, I just got to get him across the road, like, halfway up his hill, and I can kill him. So, I get set down, and all morning I could hear, like, a truck or something. It was a Saturday morning, and there's a house, like, kind of down the road, like a old trailer or something. So, I didn't know if it was, like, somebody at that house or getting ready for work, or I didn't know what was it, and it didn't sound like anything in particular.
Piddling on Saturday morning.
Yeah, it was just, that's what it sounded like. It was just piddling, but it was like making racket. Well, I figured out what it was because that turkey gobbled and I thought he was on the ground. So I called to him and he answered me like as soon as I called to him. And I was like, I might be in the game here. By that time, I heard a tailgate slam and mariachi music blasting through the river, the hills. And it was some Mexicans that were going to spray that Christmas tree farm. And they were literally, they couldn't have been more than 50 yards from that turkey. Where he, the last time he gobbled, they pulled up in there, slammed, they got their sprayers out of the back of the truck, slammed the tailgate, fired the speaker up, and went to spraying Christmas trees. And That was about as close as I got to a North Carolina.
You say that, and that reminded me when we was down there in South Carolina, and we walked up on that public land track.
Oh, yeah, and they was breaking pine needles.
We were chasing an e-bike trail, and we was like, and we had chased this e-bike guy around a couple of places. Never met him, never seen him.
Yeah, we were behind him.
Every time we kept going somewhere, we kept seeing the same e-bike trail. And Daryl, he was fired up, boy. Yeah. He said, it's Dad Burn e-biker. Yeah. He said, we're going to get him. Yeah. And we start walking, all of a sudden we see cars. And then we see people. And we see stacks of pine needles. And here we come walking with all our Mossy Oak on.
Yeah,
all
three
our
guns.
Shotguns and stuff. Look like.
Or half a mile from the road.
Look like the National Guard. And they just put their hand up, wave, and off we go. They all kind of prop up on their rakes and stare at us like pilgrims, you know. Yeah. Go down there, call for turkeys. Next thing they would come back out, and they're doing the same thing. That's what made me think of that, because they just don't care. They're going to keep working, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And we said that because, you know, we were close to them turkeys that same time.
Yeah, that time,
and those guys
yeah.
were working. And
yeah.
We did that one. Me and you
oh,
did
they
that
don't
one
pay
time.
Them no attention. I'm just saying,
yeah.
if that turkey would have been 200 yards from him, he probably still would have come.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're used to that up there. But, like, they were
no,
like they had to have run that turkey out of them Christmas
exactly,
trees.
Exactly, yeah.
right after he gobbled.
It's just funny you say that, because there's times I've been places and I'm like, man, I wonder how many turkeys gobbling here. Nobody knows what a turkey gobble sounds like.
yeah, they've probably been working up there all year and hearing them everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm about to learn how to speak Spanish. Where are they at? Where are they at this year?
Pavo.
Oh, turkey, this Fred, I know him. He here every day.
Big one. Big one.
But that was about the extent of my I went a couple times with my uncle in Virginia. That's a lie. I went one time with him.
You didn't go back to Virginia until after you get back from Kentucky.
Yeah, that's right. We heard a couple, but they never wanted to do nothing. He did kill a couple, though, or kill one. I was trying to think if anything else happened in the mountains, but I believe that's about it.
Yeah.
Dad got close to a couple, but never got none in North Carolina. So mariachi band was about my excitement for the year.
Yeah, that was the S. After that deal, I went in there and I went to SC and I got in close on that bird. You know, the last episode we talked about that you and Blake messed with. That was it for me, because after that, when NC season broke out, me and Caleb hit the ground running. So we had a few people lined up wanting to go turkey hunting, and then some of that fell through, but we had our mind made up, because he went, and I mean, I'll let him talk a lot about more of it than it was me, because we kind of put him, between us, put him in the spotlight this year, because you've been on, what, 3-year dry spell of not killing a turkey?
Two years. 2 years.
Yeah, so
this year.
It was like a goal. We're like, all right, Caleb, you're up to bat.
You know that's by choice. I watched a lot of turkeys die. Didn't care to pull the trigger.
No, 100%.
You know?
And so – you know, coming off SC, my SC season closed out basically when North Carolina started. I was like, I ain't going back, because we had done a bunch of homework up here, and we were like, all right, we're going to dive into this. So I talked about episode 6. I'm looking at my little calendar thing here. Episode 6, we talked about the opener when me and you bailed out, went down, you know, to the honey hole, and had that escapade. And was it – hold on, I'm trying to think. Was that the same – because I might have forgot. We've been off this so long since that happened. Was the escapade with the bow and the gun, was that opening weekend?
No.
That was the weekend after.
The weekend – no, that was – yeah, that was the
that
weekend
That was not
after.
On the last podcast.
Okay. All right, so, yeah.
I know that's what you're asking.
So
basically from the morning of, you know, we went in there, all them turkeys gobbling, couldn't.
Yeah, that was opening when we bumped the turkeys off the roost.
Yeah.
Right, and
I mean.
Yeah, I already told that story, yeah.
So
going in after that.
All right, we had, what, I think we went, did we, I think we went the next day.
Yeah, we went Sunday. Same, no good out of that.
No good, and then.
You hunted a whole week.
I hunted Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning. Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Friday morning, Saturday morning. Friday morning, Friday afternoon, whenever we shot that turkey, whenever I called that turkey in for Dalton. And then Saturday morning. Well, all throughout the week, every time I went over there, either morning or afternoon, the turkey was gobbling in the same spot. He'd go right, I'd go left. Or I'd go right, he'd go left. And that's the way we played that game. Well, I think it was I think it was Tuesday morning.
Yeah, one of the mornings.
One of the mornings of that week. I can't pinpoint the day down. I knew. I was like, all right, I know exactly where this joker's going. And it's not that I had him pinched off, but, you know, working around that pond, there's areas that they go in and out to work on. Well, I was like in there the night before, knew where he was roosted at. And so I went in there the next morning, and I sat down, and I was going, you know, just be real quiet. He's in there, not do a lot. And he started gobbling and gobbling and gobbling and gobbling. And I got in there, it was dark, so I got, you know, I'd probably say within 100 yards of him. Joker pitches down right in the roadbed. At this point, I still hadn't called. I was just going to let him do what he was going to do. And he pitches down and comes, and keep in mind, I'm hunting turkeys with a bow just like we would go hunt turkeys with a shotgun. Mm-hmm. I ain't in a ground blind. I'm running, gunning, leaned up beside a tree, bring it on, you know.
Native American style.
and so, you know, it's one of those things. And I'd really set out to, you know, want to do that this year. I want to do it with, you know, I want to complete my whole entire turkey slam like that, right? And So it's one of those things where he flew down off the limb, and I had my gun with me just in case, you know, the scenario prevailed where I could get a shot on him with a gun and not with a bow. Flies down, and he got in front of this tree. He was probably at about 50 yards whenever he flew down and the last time I saw him, but he was dead in line with the tree. Well, you know, I'm sitting there behind the tree, and I'm like, all right, well, I don't know if he's at 10 yards behind the tree, 30 yards behind the tree. I just know he's behind the tree, and I am too. You know, one of us is going to pop. Somebody's got to pop out, you know. And I just lean my head around the side of the tree, and as soon as I lean my head around the side of the tree, he's at about 25 yards. I'd say about 30, maybe 30 yards. He's about at 30 yards, and I'm like, oh, crap. And as soon as he sees me and I see him, we both had the same reaction. We're like, oh, crap, you know, there we are, you know. And so by this point, I'm like, you know I ain't going to be able to get a bow shot. And this kind of will tell you how adaptive our turkeys have got around here whenever it comes to pressure and this, that, and the third. Because that little piece we got, it's not a big piece of property.
It's nestled into some big piece.
That turkey can walk 600 yards and be on 10 different pieces of property where we hunt, you know. And who's telling – what, you know, who's hunting around us, so on and so forth. So there's no telling what kind of pressure that bird's had his whole life. Well, and to say that, you know, we know we hadn't pressured him a lot because we hunted that spot two times in 365 days. Yep. You know, I mean, we it's not like we go in there and burn it up.
Yep.
And so it's one of those things of I put my bow down as he turns to walk away, and I grab my shotgun and I go to cluck, and it. In the process of doing that, that turkey ducks his head. He's going from high-headed, waddled up, oh, crap, I see you, you see me, to as soon as he turns around, he tucks his head below his body like you would see a hen run through the grass and does that and goes to the hardwoods. And, you know, that's the last time I seen him until that Saturday, you know. And that Saturday, you know, same kind of scenario. I told you, I said, all right, look, this is where he's roosted at, and I know where he's sleeping. I know where he's going to walk. He's going to walk right up this side of this ridge, and that's where he's going to go. And sure enough, we sat down. I mean, it.
This is going to be on YouTube, by the way. This is all documented on video.
Just like you drew it up, we got in there. It was windy. It was the day after that storm. It was real, real windy morning.
It was like a hurricane was about to come in. It got windy.
It was windy. Wind was blowing, too. You know, 20, 25 miles an hour that morning.
Most people wouldn't have went that morning. It was kind of rough.
And on top of that, we was in the hardwoods.
Yeah, and it was humid, too.
That was a hard morning for R&W because that was the mariachi morning, too. Yeah.
There was one person out of the whole team, and he ain't here to speak for himself.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Because we had a foul recording last week that we had to re-record. We had just some audio problems. Mr. Trick killed a turkey on the day that all of us did not prevail, and we all were around gobbling turkeys and had success. But Andrew smacked one in the mouth. So there was a high note on this story that Caleb's about to tell.
So we're sitting here, and it gets daylight, and, you know, we're able to get in through the hardwoods pretty good because it's windy, and you know. So we sat down right on top of that ridge, exactly where we wanted to sit. I said, this is where we want to sit. And there's a little open gap right in front of us. We can probably see 50 yards in there. You can see, you know, it's pretty open canopy, but where we were at, we had a good open spot. We're just sitting there, and I had sat down. Keep in mind, I still got my bow, still got my shotgun.
And also, mind you, this turkey was gobbling his head off in the wind. So if you ever think it's too windy for him to be gobbling, boy, I beg to differ because his audio proves otherwise.
Yeah, this turkey was choking. But, I mean, and that's the thing about, you know, and I'm sure you probably hit on this, but I'll hit on it briefly. You know, you talk to 10 guys at turkey hunt around here. five of them are going to tell you that the turkeys were gobbling and you know, acting right and doing what they're supposed to. Five of them are going to tell you, oh, it was a rough year. We didn't hear.
Yeah.
There was one thing for certain.
We
were not short of gobbles from the time the daylight cracked on opening morning until the time the daylight dropped on closing afternoon.
Like one sentence on this topic. This is the only year I've been hunting South Carolina since I could drive. This is the only year, and if Blake was here and wasn't down with the tick-borne illness, he could vouch for it. Every single time I was in the state of South Carolina, I heard more than one turkey gobble, which is crazy. Because usually they get down there and shut up by the second weekend, even if it's in March. Like, they're done.
The three times I went twice with you.
Mm-hmm.
Even the day I went with your daddy.
Yeah.
We still heard turkeys, but couldn't get nothing done.
Mm-hmm.
And even the one time I went in there by myself, I screwed it up and had turkey gobble. Yeah. I almost hit two of them in my pickup truck running out in the road, and they still gobbled after I rolled the window down.
Everywhere I went this year, they was gobbling.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You went wrong about that. That was a good note to hit on there.
But back to that. So we sat down, and we get in there, slipped in, and it's still dark. It's 6:25, 6:30 whenever we get set down.
Yeah, completely set up.
We had been set up. You know, we sat there for a second. He gobbled again. We're like, all right, we're going to sit right here.
He got quiet for a minute.
I tried
to figure everything out.
We both sat down, picked us a tree, sat down. We're side by side. We're both facing the way this turkey's at. And I had taken my quiver off my bow. I had got everything adjusted. And about the time I got everything adjusted, I put my bow, you know, right up on the edge.
Well, you knock an arrow because you hear the video.
I knocked my arrow. And it wasn't 30 seconds after I knocked that arrow. All of a sudden, you hear.
Yeah, I said he's flying out.
And holy smokes, you might as well have had a decoy spread set out in front of you. That son of a gun, I mean, he flew down, and I don't know if it was, you know, something to do with the wind that morning or whatever. He flew way farther than what they normally would, and or he was roosted in a different tree. The canopy was so thick we couldn't tell.
Yeah.
But he flew and just landed right in front of us. And if we'd have had a shotgun, well, I say if we'd have had a shotgun, like we didn't have two of them sitting right inside.
I was ready, boy. I'm telling you. I was ready.
But he flew down right in front of Carson. He's sitting to my left. He flew down right in front of him. And, I mean, one click, boom, turkey hunt's over. You know, I mean,
he was 25 yards from us.
Yeah, I mean, just toasted. Well, I'm sitting there, and I've already got, you know, I've got my release on my bow. And I'm sitting there, and he's to the left of me. Well, he walks to my right down in this little, you know, I'm going to call it a little dip. It probably a little ditch, whatever you want to call it. He walks down to my right, and as soon as he gets behind a tree, so he's to the left of the tree, he walks behind the tree. As soon as he walks behind that tree, I go full draw, and as soon as he gets out from behind that tree, I cut one time, he stopped. And as soon as I did, I mean, I'm just like, oh, this is money. 25 yards, I got the pin right on it. And I hit the freaking limb from here to the table right there.
You hear the typical sound here.
Yeah,
down through the woods, Eric.
And then it's followed by boom, boom. Because by then I'd done. I'm like, all right, I done missed this joker. I'm gonna at least
all right, scratch
know.
That.
Yeah. And so, you know, so I shot the arrow, and as soon as I realized he missed, you know, he took off, but he didn't. I mean, he didn't take off crazy fast until I shot at him the first time at 50 yards. But I mean, you know, I was shooting a 12 gauge, 50 yards after the turkey you've already shot at. I didn't know if I could have possibly hit him. Whatever, I'm gonna do the right thing. You know, I followed up shot and. Obviously,
he was probably that far on the second shot. That first shot you took, he may have pushed out to like 35 yards.
Yeah.
I kind of set up, and the camera don't pick none of this up. I kind of set up. You can see the muzzle flash. And when that second shot, he come across that ridge below us. Yeah. He was probably 50, 55 then when you shot that second.
Yeah.
But it was like the leaves blew up behind him. The turkey was off to the right. It was just a warning shot, like, get out of here, boy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was a screw up. I mean, it happens. I mean, it's one of those things. Oh, yeah. I mean, you bow hunting with a turkey bow hunting for a turkey in the hardwoods. No ground blind, you know, you're not stationary.
No.
It's a challenge, I mean, in and of itself. Yeah. And you know, left or right, you know, it was one of those things, you know, a limb got in the way, and I didn't, you know, obviously make that one happen. But we played the hooky with him a lot. And
that was still fun.
All the way down to the dinner bell rang.
And what was funny, though, is if I had to really initiate this, I feel like a dang baseball player from the 80s. It's a big old chawing boy. I'm up to bat. But anyway, if we would have switched trees wholeheartedly, and this video will show this, so everybody listen to this, timestamp this and go back when the video drops February next year and watch it. When that bird come down, and I got it set up in the video, I can go back and re-edit it a million times because what I've got ain't final stamp, it's just proofed edited. I do a little circle thing that's going to highlight where the bird's at. Because that video, you think we're hunting this turkey way before legal limits. It was just so overcast that morning and so full canopy. Because, we've talked about this on the last couple episodes. Spring sprung very early here in the South.
Yes.
I mean, it was full canopy. Like, when we were hunting last weekend, me and you, May 10th, me and you were in awe at how thick it was in the canopy. Mm-hmm. Just from opening weekend to May 10th, dude, it was so bad. Me and Caleb were sitting in some spots where we had saw turkeys in early season. We were like, dude, if these turkeys got where they were in early season now, we wouldn't be able to see them.
No.
Like, it would be you'd be hard-pressed to see a redhead shoot a redhead, and them birds have been 30 yards from you.
Yeah.
I mean, it got full quick. But back to what I was saying, if we would have switched trees in the sense of where you see the video, because I literally set the camera up in between us. He's to the right, and I'm to the left. If we would have switched, in that time that bird had to get up on the hill and make his cross path and be perpendicular to us and not parallel, or he was actually parallel with us in that sense, you would have had plenty of time to draw, and when he cleared those trees, we could have froze him up, had a beautiful body shot, killed a turkey right there on top of that ridge top.
And I still had a good shot. Absolutely. I did everything I needed to do. I mean, the turkey never saw me draw my bow back. Mm-hmm. I was at full draw, and that turkey's at 25 yards. He never saw me.
Was clean slate. I even said in the video, that was like the smoothest for anybody that hunts, and they're like, well, I would have had a little pop-up blind, or I'd have had like a little, you know, lap blind in front of me. No, he's sitting on his knees with his back halfway arched up to a red oak, and the minute that turkey gets to that tree, I mean, he just draws smooth as silk, like you spot stalking a buck in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dang, that's pretty smooth there, Rick. And then he shoots, you know, he's and he shoots, and it's down there. I mean, I think it skipped the water a couple times when it went down the hill, but
I don't know if that arrow's landed yet.
No, I don't think it did either. But that was still pretty cool, though, just to, you know, do that. And then after that, he turned his hat around backwards, and he got the firepower back out. He said, I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, no.
But just on that topic, you talk about trick killing one. So that morning, this is hilarious, just like the turn of events for the whole morning.
You got to hear this part, because I told you I texted him.
Yeah, so y'all two are hunting, I'm hunting, and Andrew's hunting.
But he texted me first.
Yeah, so I'm walking up the mountain. I got my stuff on or whatever. I had a big hay field to get across before, like, I got to the top and got set up where I needed to be. So I'm walking across this hay field. Look at my phone. Carson Wayne, we done sent an arrow and a couple shells at a turkey. No feathers flew yet. What you doing? I said, well, I'm walking to the top of the mountain. I press send. I put my phone back in my pocket. Take like two more steps. Phone's vibrating again. I pull it back out. And it's Andrew FaceTiming me. So I sat there and talked to him for a second. He's holding one by the neck. I'm like, heck yeah, good deal. I get to the top of the mountain, and then it's mariachi band. So it was like all in like 20 minutes, all of this happened.
This is all before 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. So Evan's like, dang, I just got out of the truck. Yeah. I ain't even made it to the top of the mountain yet.
Right. It's all before
7. Andrew done killed one. They done missed one. I'm like, dang, I'm behind.
All before 7 o'clock. Yeah, he's like, all right, boys, I got to go. I need to keep walking. Spot yet. But yeah, after that, I mean, we'll get on them next. I'm just trying to cover all the North Carolina, South Carolina before we get on the turkey tours, because those are some good stories. But the turkey tour, me and you threw it in between what we could have been hunting here. And we took some time off from here. Caleb basically planned a surprise trip for me for my bachelor party, because I didn't plan on – I mean, we're going to still do something with all the guys. But, you know, didn't have nothing like wholehearted big. And me and him's always dreamed of just taking off and doing something. You already had a trip planned, so it was kind of one of them things like, sure, we'll take off and do it. So that happened in the midst of – what we actually all three in here consider a good time to turkey, because a lot of guys have done clocked out. And we've all three killed turkeys a lot of times that year. Late season North Carolina can be very, very good. I killed a really good bird on the 100-year farm. That's a YouTube video we got. You killed one last year on that same time. You and your daddy both did in the mountains, I think, late season last year.
No, dad killed one late season the year before last. Yeah. I killed one
I know in the years prior, you know, before we were all doing this together, you've had success all the way out to the end of the year. So we turkey tour was in between that. Then you end up going to Kentucky, and when we all got back, I think you tailed out one last round in North Carolina. Well, you already told about that, and then you went to Virginia.
I went to
Kentucky and then come back.
I went to Kentucky, came back. South Carolina's over. I hunted North Carolina one more time. I went back to the mariachi farm, as I call it now.
Mm-hmm.
I went back over there and didn't hear that turkey again. I think I set up on a turkey, but he was, like, too far. I just kind of sat down to him for a minute, and then I went to Virginia.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You
want me to tell that just while that's on
Easterns? Yeah, well, save it for the end. I say, because ours wasn't that too big of a deal, because prior to that, and
we'll just go in order.
Yeah, I'll just speed ours up really quick because it wasn't nothing major. I mean, we had some good hunts, and it's all YouTube video worthy. But in the midst of all that happening, within that day, we ran around, found a couple more turkeys. We door knocked, got permission on a brand new piece of property, jumped on it. It was a small wedge piece between some really prime real estate. When I say real estate, this stuff was for sale, and we couldn't get permission through nobody else around it. So we found this little nestle piece, tucked in it, called two groups of gobblers together. They fought, and me and Caleb watched them disappear of our lives. We go back and hunt them that evening, and that was Easter weekend, actually. That's how I remember all that now, because we didn't hunt that Sunday. We took Sunday off.
Yep.
And we played with them turkeys in a river bottom all day long. Four gobblers all day long.
Yep.
And couldn't close the deal on it, and we had a chance to close the deal on it when we set up, but it was like – We didn't know, first time ever
on the piece of property. We didn't know the layout. We didn't know the elevation. We didn't know the creek. Yeah. We knew absolutely nothing about it. It was literally just
on X, and we're like, we need to go right here. And as we're walking, it's all on video. We strike up the turkeys. I turn the camera around, and I'm telling this on air before the video releases. We shot ourselves in the foot, and we turned around and said, oh, yeah, boy, these are dead turkeys. Because when we got down the hill, they would have been dead turkeys.
Nine times out of ten, they are.
But we didn't know that the turkeys we saw on the other piece of property that we knew could connect to this property, that we thought that's what turkeys gobbled. We thought they made that big of a move on us. But we didn't know that we walked down and were calling two different turkeys on a whole other piece of property that were coming to the creek bottom. So when we got there and we set up, we called these two turkeys within like literal earshot, and they were just over the knoll of a cow pasture. We set up on the river, the creek bottom, and all of a sudden, I'm telling Caleb, I'm like, there they are, there they are, there they are, there they are, there they are. And they're just right there, and they're looking. And they're looking around. I'm like, and we just moved and sat down, and they're right there. And I'm like, this ain't good. So we sit there for a minute, and we turn, and Caleb's like, there they go. And he sees two of them cross the creek bottom down at the bottom, and then the video clips over to me sitting up. And all of a sudden, you hear, brick, 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 pow, brick, 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 pow, brick, brick, brick. And you hear wings just beating the piss out of each other. And all of a sudden, four turkeys gobbling in sync. Bow, 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 bow. We're like, all right, well, there's four turkeys.
And literally,
they're going the other way.
Yeah, right where we're sitting. I mean, and I had a little bit better vantage point than Carson did on it, but whenever they were – the two were gobbling in the pasture, you know, to detail this out a little more, the two were gobbling in the pasture,
mm-hmm.
and then I'd say 10 minutes into us hearing these two gobbling in the pasture, next thing you know, we're like, how's the turkeys gobbling behind us?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. what in the world? And then the gobbles – in sequence kept getting closer and kept getting closer, mm-hmm. and then he's like, oh, I see him, and then it wasn't, you know, 2 minutes, we kind of knew that them birds had pushed away, so we kind of made an adjustment because we were mm-hmm. down in the yeah. bottom, and we made that adjustment, and I'm facing, and I mean gun on my knee, facing down a gun barrel, you know, hearing them gobble, don't know where they are. Next thing you know, they're all four of them, you know, like what you said, you hear them mm-hmm. in there fighting. Next thing you know, all four of them just paintbrushes going through the woods.
It's like NWTF painting tall grass on a creek bottom, a big creek bottom, and they just walk across an old lapped over barbed wire fence, and they get to this little secluded field that nobody knows exists unless you looked on an aerial map. They stay out in that field all day and just gobble.
Literally.
And gobble. Mm-hmm. And gobble.
You can yelp 100 times. You can yelp at them 100 times, they're going to gobble 100 times.
And
they ain't going to move.
We could never lay eyes on them after that, and I guarantee they just sit out there and just spun circles strutting mm-hmm. each other.
That's one of those scenarios, too. I mean, you know, if you got permission, you know, we ran out of land. That's point blank. You know, sticking mm-hmm. true to it, we ran out of room to work those turkeys. Now, if that was a bigger piece of property and you had room to work those turkeys, you could 100% went in there and made a slip on them, done mm-hmm. something tricky and probably, you know, killed one. But that was one of those things, just, you know, the ones that got away.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
It, mm-hmm. And that happens. I mean, it happens to the best mm-hmm. of them. I mean,
and that's part of the main story. I mean, because that was about it, the collective of our season. The last day, we did the same scenario. The same thing happened mm-hmm. at the end of the season. When we went the last day, we got in there, had a bird fired up, made a big loop on him. I got and pulled an Alabama shuffle for you and Dalton, and not prior to the one that we went viral on TikTok. If you ain't seen that, Caleb's owl tutor call. That bird was just teetotal backwards from anything we ever experienced. That turkey was roosted on the other side of a big old dilapidated cutover. We went through the thickest jungle. I feel like we was in Vietnam. Like, we went through this huge dilapidated cutover. Me and Caleb did. Let Dalton have the high ground, knowing that bird would pitch that way. I bet that bird sailed 150 yards, landed in the guy's backyard, landowner's backyard. Dalton saw him land, the turkey went in a hole.
Gone. Houdini. Yeah.
Nobody knows where he went to this day. And it was hens roosted with him.
Yeah.
Dalton seen no hens. He saw a hen that come to him.
From the complete opposite direction.
And when that bird pitched, me and Caleb never heard the hen fly down, no cackle, no nothing. We didn't even hear the gobbler pitch. He gobbled, gobbled, gobbled.
I mean, he was choking.
All over the place.
It's funny because we pulled up that morning and you know, where we park at versus where we hunt, you know, we hunt to the left, and we pulled up that morning. And it was me, Carson, and Dalton. We was sitting there, and I was like, well, y'all boys better hurry up. There's one already gobbling. And they was like, uh-huh. I was like, no, seriously, like, there's one already gobbling, you know, right here.
Stand there, and he just,
and I thought he was where we normally, you know, hunt at. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a minute, that turkey's over here. I you know, now keep in mind, I've hunted that piece of property since I was a freshman in high school, you know, so we're talking 12-plus years now. Mm-hmm. I've hunted turkeys over there, and there's been turkeys over there. But in 4 or 5 years, I ain't heard a turkey over there because the cutover, it gets so thick. You know, they just ain't hanging out there.
Yeah.
Well, daggone it, if he wasn't roosted in a spot that we ain't heard him, you know, in years. And so it just kind of threw a wrench in the whole deal. Meanwhile, there was a turkey where we normally go hunt, mm-hmm. and they're gobbling, which, you know, if we'd had it to do all over again and knew the scenario, maybe we would have went and hunted that one first. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just – that's part of the game, you know.
And I want to throw this out there, and if anybody's heard it, I want somebody to comment this, text us, message us, whatever. There, when that turkey finally gobbled, the one that we spoofed and we just called it quits after that, when Caleb and him was walking out and I did an Alabama shuffle on that bird, me and Caleb were standing on the roadbed, and we heard some buzzards go over, or like vultures, and you know how they make that little barking sound?
Mm-hmm.
One barked, or whatever they call that, that he did, and we heard, pow! And nobody, we had done called everything, and it got up, and it heard that buzzard fly over, and he was like, bark, bark, bark. And then we heard, pow. And I was like, Caleb looked at me, I looked at him, I was like, did you just hear that? And Dalton's like, what'd y'all hear? I'm like, you didn't hear that turkey just go? And then about that time, we're sitting there again, and Caleb's like, dude, I swear, he's like, I saw something down in that bottom. He's like, and they may have worked their way up the hill. So they're coming up the hill parallel to us, but they're going to go out and hit the roadbed to see if anything's around. We just have to walk out to them. Well, about that time, we're sitting there again, and I tried to crow call. Nothing answered. That buzzard did that barking again, and he gobbled one more time. I was like, bro, we got a new locating call.
Yeah.
Well, then I make a big, big loop and go up, and Caleb's like, we're going to ease up this roadbed. Stay in the woods. You make a big loop, because I got to calling again, and it gobbled finally to me calling. And you could tell there was some jakes in the mix. So I got around the loop and got over there and did I went nasty on them, just got ugly, like I'm looking, like,
with
where y'all at?
Complete intention, hey, they're over here, we got a roadbed in between us. Me and him are walking and
out.
We're cutting back and forth at each other. Mm-hmm. He's 100 yards through the woods to my right, mm-hmm. and we're just cutting back and forth at each other, just throwing the book at him. It's the last day we're going to be in here, you
just,
know, for
just
the year.
Just seeing if they'll step out, you know, in their way.
And give us something. And then daggone, we're sitting there and nothing. This is probably 10, 15 minutes went on. And me and Dalton were like, ah, screw it, you know. And we could hear Carson walking back, you know, towards us, because that's what, you know, we were going to do, is we were just going to meet back at the top of the roadbed.
You know, we got within like 50 yards of each other. We got close. Oh, yeah. We were about to just meet up and call it quits.
You know, and I'm just sitting there, and me and Dalton are standing in the middle of the roadbed. And next thing you know, I look to my left, and there's a redhead. 40 yards. There's another redhead. There's four redheads in the woods. I can't tell who's got a beard, who don't, but I just say, Dalton, don't move. You know, because that's the big, you know, a learning moment here. A lot of people in that scenario, and I say a lot of people as, you know, there's people out there who would possibly make this mistake. Not saying everybody would do this, but in that scenario, you know, if you're already caught with your pants down, just you look like a tree already. You know what I mean? You're wearing full camouflage. Heck, Dalton is a tree. He's what, 6'8", 6'9"? That son of a gun's an oak tree standing there.
That dude's tall.
and so, you know, and I was like, Dalton, don't move. And we just stood completely still. First redhead walks out, Jake. Second redhead, Jake. Third redhead makes it right to the edge. And it's, and all of a sudden, I look behind. That third redhead couldn't tell what it was, and I'm like, oh, that's the gobbler right there. Mm-hmm. And you know, so we're in the roadbed, and it's kind of like a thick canopy where we can see through it, but, like, I can't see through it good enough to get a shot. I can just kind of tell what's going on. And so I popped my head right in the edge of the trees whenever I seen that last one was a gobbler, and, boy, whenever I did that, I might as well just told them, hey, boys, I'm right here. Y'all go ahead and run on off now, you know, because there was nothing else you would have done in that scenario.
I'm over in the woods, you know, because they had gobbled one more time, and I'm, yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yeah, meanwhile, Carson's still over there on the DJ tune. Just, he had no idea.
He calls me, and I'm like, did you see him? He's like, it's over. Just get out of here. Yeah.
Come on out of the woods, Bob. It's all over. Yeah, but, and I mean, man, listen, you know, we've all been turkey hunting. I mean, accumulatively, we've all been turkey hunting for many, 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 many years, mm-hmm. right? And we've all got, you know, experience, and it's one of those things. I mean, it don't matter how good you are turkey hunting. It don't matter how bad you are at turkey hunting. Mm-hmm. You're going to make mistakes. Oh, and yeah. I mean, I've killed more turkeys in my lifetime. You've killed more turkeys in your lifetime. I mean, we've killed a lot more turkeys than the average person in our lifetimes, but it's one of those things. I mean, you know, you learn all the time. Oh, yeah. You're going to make mistakes.
And that's what I was going to say, too. I was talking about that little field. Like, you gobble 100 times, and they gobble 100 times, and they ain't going to move. It don't matter if you've been hunting 100 years or half an hour.
Yeah.
You ain't going to kill. Whatever you have to do to kill a turkey, whatever method, whatever science, whatever technology, whatever tip you want to use, you are not going to kill a wild turkey where he does not want to be.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it ain't going to happen.
99.9% of the time. You never put the .01%.
Well, yeah.
I'll tell you, whenever we was in Washington, we learned a thing or two about turkey.
Yeah, now, I will say.
That is the main rule.
Yeah.
The number one rule in turkey hunting is there is no absolutes.
No. Yes. No. No. No.
Yeah.
No.
That's what makes it so good.
And, that's in any kind of hunting. Deer hunting, turkey hunting, duck hunting, fishing. I mean, you know, who knows, right? But that's one of those things, you know, we all gonna make mistakes and we're all gonna, you know, learn from it, and it just makes us better turkey hunters as we go on throughout the years. But, you know, I'll personally say, just for me, you know, I ain't gonna lie, I like you know, watching turkeys die, but I mean, it's been 2 years since I shot an Eastern. I ain't gonna lie, I really had an itch to, you know, go for one. And I think this year for me, that kind of, you know, you get that I want to make it happen. You get a little impatient sometimes.
You get kind of forceful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and if you'd have you know, rewinded that to 365 days ago and the rest of my life, we'd have went in there and tagged out, no problem, whatever. It's just, you know, there was some scenarios where, you know, we got new pieces of property we're hunting. The birds are in different places.
We took different approaches. We got patient with it.
And we kind of had to, in a way, just mm-hmm. because, I mean, like what we said from the start, you know, the woods grew up a little bit more than what we was used to. The turkeys were roosted in a little different places. The fields were a lot taller. So stuff was a little bit different here mm-hmm. than what it had been in the years past. Should we have killed a turkey or four? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, leave the bow at the house. We'd be both sitting here talking about how we shot a turkey at 25 yards.
Yeah, if we was going killing like most people collectively try to do, sure. You know, but then in hindsight, it's 2020, we still killed a pile of turkeys by giving a good season to put more under your belt to say, well, these are things, you know, you can do and you don't. But again, it's like Evan said, there's still no absolutes. Because we still played scenarios that we always do, and we're like, well, that worked last year, but it didn't work this year.
I was making the reference to one of my buddies. You know, this turkey season to me was like the Marlin tournaments where you catch and release. we had a pile of turkeys at 40 and 50 yards, brother, but we didn't come home with one here. Yeah. But, I mean, that's part of it. You know, let's sit here and tell stories about it. Yeah. And we learned a lot more this year, you know, than maybe what we would have had like last year. We hunted 2 days and mm-hmm. shot a hammer, and that was the end of that. You know, got busy with life, X, Y, and Z. But, you know, this year, I will honestly say I've enjoyed this year just because of the challenge that it's kind of thrown at all of us, really. Evan, you got to kill some turkeys, you know, here in Southeast and shoot some Easterns. But it's one of those things, like, you know, for myself included and Carson included, I mean, we didn't get the punch tag here. We're eating tag soup for dinner tonight. Yeah, but mm-hmm. it's just one of them things, you know, that's part of being a sportsman. That's part of being a hunter, you know, as you go on and you learn from them. But, hey, still had a blast.
Oh, dude, it's turkey season, you know.
And that's what makes me love turkey hunting more than anything. It's like, because there's no absolutes in anything. Fishing, you know, fly fishing, whatever you're going to do. But in my lifetime, I've hunted since I was like 2 or 3 or whatever, you know, like I've gone on hunts or whatever. Every single time I go turkey hunting. Now, I go deer hunting, you know, I hunt everything, you know, like it's the last animal on earth, you know, like I go all in for every season. But if you go deer hunting, you go 10 days in a row and you're not going to see a deer do something you've never seen a deer do. Mm-hmm. Like it's only like once, a couple times in a season, you'll be like, well, I ain't never seen that. Every single time you go turkey hunting, you're going to see a wild turkey do something you've never seen a turkey do before.
Totally different.
Every single – you go 100%. For the whole month of the season, and every single day you're going to see something different.
Yep.
And that's what I love about it.
And I think that's one thing, too, because we talked about this on the side, not to get off a big beaten path here, but when you were Caleb, you know, was striking at it earlier, that all these people are talking about, man, it was the worst season ever, and all of us have just kind of been nonchalantly. Some of us kind of, me, myself, I'll talk, call it, aggressively commenting to some people on Facebook. Like, you take it with a grain of salt, because I think some of these guys, they've had the luxury of being such a norm, and they've put so much hurt and pressure on these places they've hunted over and over and over again, that they don't realize that they've done it themselves, and then they're like, I ain't ever seen that before. God-awful season bowl. I ain't gobbling. I ain't doing this, ain't doing that. I'm like, man, I promise you, we've been swallowing that pill since the day I started hunting turkeys. So, like, when I take it for granted, I know it real quick, because just like the season we come off last year, all of us in here had a really good season last year. And it's like, you roll that into this season, the minute that leading up to the day one, I'm excited. And then when day one hits, I tell myself when I wake up, all right, dude, this ain't going to be like last year. Yeah. It's time to roll with the punches. And as soon as you get out of the truck, you get hit right in the dang gut. And it's like, well, time to roll with it. Yeah. Let's see what they do this year.
It's funny because, I mean, you know, we opening morning, you know, I wasn't here talking about that. I know you talked about it a little bit. But it's funny because the same tree that we sat beside opening morning is dang near 20 yards off the same tree we ended it the last day whenever them Jakes walked across the road bed. We started there. We ended there. Them turkeys, I've hunted that spot for a very long time. And every year, do I typically go in there, we shoot one turkey, we leave. And we spend no more than a day or two in there. Just because we like to keep pressure off of it. And fortunately, we have a couple different places that we can go try to strike up a turkey. That's, you know, something to be thankful for, I guess. And it's one of those things where, you know, that piece taught me more this year. And I will honestly say, I enjoyed this year more. This will be one of my most memorable turkey seasons. Take away Washington, take away Idaho, take away traveling. Yeah. Hunting on that piece of property, because I ain't gonna lie, you know, as anybody would, you go into a piece of property, you just absolutely whip their tail on.
You think you know it all.
Think you know it all. You walk in there opening morning, there's four gobblers on the roost. It's like, all right, Bubba, we fixing to walk out of here with two and head to the truck. You know what I mean? And then we go in there. It was a completely different scenario change. I'll be the first guy to tell you. I mean, dude. I can go hang with the best of them, but I'll also sit here and tell you some years I got my tail whipped, and this year I just straight up got a tail whipping.
We did.
But the bow had a lot to do with it. I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. You take the bow out of the equation, I don't think we'd be having this conversation. You know, we'd scratch a couple tags out, but it's part of it. It's a new challenge. It's something new to do. You know, not saying we've mastered it. By no means. We're decent at it, and we learn every year. But I had more fun this year, and I'll remember this turkey season here in North Carolina more so than I'll remember a lot of them that I punched tags, just because, I mean, the turkeys was gobbling, bro.
Yeah, boy. And that's the takeaway from it, again, not to, you know, skew from it, but the years, even when we did have all that success and all that fun, it was just that one turkey that died. It was like, yeah, he was the one gobbling and he died. But even the ones we didn't get on, there was ones like that morning we bumped that turkey and we had that whole roost screw up on opening morning. We was pissed for probably 20 minutes. And then two more turkeys fired back off and we were like, we're in the game. And we were in the game with those turkeys. They just didn't commit. And then it didn't work.
Yeah. And then, you know, and to say that, you know, and not to go off in the beaten path, right? But we can take this as a learning experience for people listening. You know, maybe you guys know this, maybe you don't. For those listening, we're just going to share a story. Turkey hunting don't end at daylight. Mm-mm. It don't end at 8 o'clock. It don't end at 9 o'clock. I'm going to tell you, preferably, if you said, all right, you got 2 hours to hunt, you can only hunt 2 hours a day, go pick your 2 hours. Pal, I'm going to see you at 11 o'clock. You know, I'm going to see you right in the middle of the day.
I might see you about 3 o'clock.
Depending on
how hot it is.
Right. And the average person, they're going to go in there at daylight. They're going to leave at 8 or 9, and they're going to come back in the afternoon at 5 or 6 o'clock, and they're going to hunt till dark. That's the average schedule. But, you know, for us, we called in turkeys at 6:45, 6:25, 5:57, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Yep. I mean, you name it. All throughout the day. And that's a lot of, you know, people don't really understand. It's like, you know, during turkey season, it's just like hunting deer in a rut. They're going to be on their feet. They're looking for something. You know, and you just got to be at the right place at the right time. And 9 times out of 10, I'll say this from experience, you know, somebody might be able to just statistically prove me wrong, but I'm going to say this from my personal experience. I've had better luck after 9 o'clock than I have before 9 o'clock.
I was fixing to say the same thing. I've killed a bunch of turkeys for my age, and I'm very fortunate to do so. I don't know the exact percentage, but I'd say somewhere at least 60 or 70%. It might be 80% have been after 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I've killed more from 10 o'clock to dark
mm-hmm.
than I ever have off the roost. And this is my theory on it. Now, you know, we can go down this rabbit hole for just a second, but you know, like deer, you can pattern deer. You know, they have like a strict pattern. Turkeys have like a general pattern. Like they mm-hmm. kind of drift this way. They kind of do this. They yep. don't have like a, I'm gonna walk this trail every day.
Yeah.
I think that a turkey's brain is, you know, only so big or whatever. They can only hold an agenda, if you will, for just a little bit. So like if a turkey's gobbling, he's got it. He knows what he's gonna do till 9 o'clock
mm-hmm.
or 8 o'clock. You know, that's like as far ahead as he can think. Now this is just what Evan thinks, but I think after you get past whenever his agenda ends, then you can do a lot more with him.
Yeah, because he's just
yeah. Now if he's by himself on the roost, you kill him at daylight. But if he's got hens or, you know, what, even if he is by himself,
yeah,
he's got something on his mind. He went to bed with last night. He woke up gobbling. I'm gonna go to that hay pasture this morning, and that's what is on his brain. Now he might get to that hay pasture at, you know, 10 minutes after daylight, or he might get there at 9 o'clock. But once he gets there, then he can do whatever the rest of the mm-hmm. day. But that's just what he's doing. And you know,
yeah, it's just I've always yeah, it's a matter of what persuades him in between yeah. that time frame.
Yep. And to that point, and to keep hitting in on that a little bit, is, you know, for those listening who may not have been turkey hunting for 10 years, maybe you just started this year, you know, we'll give you a little tip, I guess, if you would. Them turkeys going to fly down off the roost, typically they're going to be with hens, or they're going to know where a hen's at mm-hmm. in the springtime.
Yeah, that's more of it.
And that, that's from opening weekend to the last day of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
They're looking for anybody.
Hey, I got one strutting on camera today.
Mm-hmm. Now,
could do it whenever.
And he could sit on that limb and gobble his head off. He could mm-hmm. sit on that limb. You never even know he's there, just like that bird that never yeah. made a peep on yeah. you. It happens. You yeah. know, it's part of it. But they come down. They got their minds kind of made up in the morning where they're going to go from the start. After they kind of entertained themselves, whether they went to the pasture and the hens were there and they hung out with them for a while, bred, did their thing, picked around in the pasture, scratched, whatever.
Yep.
At 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, typically, those hens are either bred, they've done walked off into the woods.
And they've lost
they
their
went
hen.
To the Yeah, and yeah. they've lost their hens. And it's like, all right, well, if you just happen to be at the right scenario at the right time and yelp at him, you yep. know, oh, where's my hen? I've been looking for you for 2 hours. You know,
that is exactly what happened.
I mean, and Evan and Carson, yeah. y'all might agree with me. Most of the time at 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, you know, yeah, later on, right. whatever, in those oddball hours of turkey hunting,
yeah.
from my experience, you strike up a turkey at that time, those turkey hunts don't last long.
No.
15, 20 minutes, that son of a gun's in your lap. And we learned that the hard way on opening day.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
I mean, we're sitting there and, you know, We got, you know, the little thing, oh, we only hunt goblin turkeys. We try to hunt goblin turkeys, whatever, right? So we go in there and strike up that turkey. Well, we knew where he was at. We didn't know how fast he was going to get to us. You know what I mean? Yeah. We was 150, 200 yards from whenever we first heard him. We just walk on through the woods. We yelp again. And he's like, all right, he's 150 yards. Yeah. We're going to walk another 50 yards, get set down. Next thing you know, I see a red head in the field. Oh, yeah. Whoa. He's yeah. right on top of
it. Way too close.
But that happens more often than not. And I think that, you know, it's really good time to take advantage of turkeys during that time of the morning and just know, hey, if you get one to strike up, then you better go ahead and get sit down as yep. long as you're within reasonable
distance.
That's
what happened to me this year. I ain't talked to you since, but the turkey I killed in South Carolina, we left the truck at 11 o'clock. We had killed the turkey, took pictures in two different spots because there was a place in that property I've always wanted to take a picture. We killed the turkey, took pictures there, walked to this spot, took pictures there by that big oak tree, and then walked back to the truck. I looked at my phone. It was 11:22. Mm-hmm. And what had happened, and we didn't know it till we got back to the truck, put all the pieces together, and I told the story. I'm just hitting the high notes or whatever because he's here. We walked in, and my dad had messed with this turkey, and we knew he was, like, off to the right. Well, the road goes to the left, and we were going to go to the left, like, a certain distance and then go into where we thought this turkey should be. We make the turn, the left-hand turn in the road, and we bump a hen. And I'm like, dang. You know, and that was the morning we'd messed up that turkey, or that other, you know, crow yep. call yeah, McGee yeah. had messed yeah, up yeah. that other turkey for us. And so I was already mad. I was like, dang, you know, I almost turned around. I was just like, you know, I'm done for today or whatever. And so we go in the woods 100 yards, and I yelp one time, and 3 minutes later that turkey's flopping. And what had happened, he had been with that hen. I know for a fact we would not have killed that turkey at daylight. Because he was with that hen. He had two jakes with him. He was preoccupied. He had lost that hen sometime before we got there. And he was looking for her. And we got between them. And as soon as I made a I mean, you could have killed him with a squeaky door hinge. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I mean, he was looking. He was for hot. Her.
Yeah.
He had he lost her, and as soon as I made a sound, like it was instant. Here you come. And it was like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. Them's the ones
on the dock.
Them's the fun one right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the ones in the mornings, I mean, you know, the ones at daylight are just as good as the ones at 11, 12 o'clock. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing we always say. As much as we like hunting mid-morning, but there ain't nothing like standing in the woods with 58 degrees.
By 7:30, that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, there ain't nothing. But still at that, even if you don't kill one, just hearing the spring woods wake up in the morning, man. That's what right there was what it's all about. Yeah. Hearing the turkey gobbling at dark, you try to play.
That's one reason why I still go, because I've noticed a big trend lately on social media celebs, not making fun of nobody. There's a lot of guys that don't do the daylight thing no more. They get up and they get out there way past daylight and they're like,
yeah, I don't care if I don't kill him till 5 o'clock.
I just like hearing the woods.
I'm gonna be
there
to listen to the woods wake up at daylight.
Because I gotta get that gobble itch out of him. Yeah, I just want to hear him just you know, crank
I
out
just
on
the
hear
that wheel.
If you could bottle up the feeling of a spring morning on opening day and hearing a turkey gobble at daylight,
if you
could bottle it up and sell it at Walmart, brother,
we'd
have one hell of a piece of hunting property.
That'd be some generational wealth.
Oh yeah, I mean that ain't no joke. But I you know, neither here nor there. I mean, you could kill them, you know, at any given point in the day. You just got to put yourself at the right place at the right time. And you know, I think that's something a lot of people sleep on, especially on public land too. Yep. I mean, you know, going and shooting birds at oddball hours when the average Joe ain't gonna be there. That's what gives you a little upper edge.
That turkey I killed was on public land.
Yep.
And that was like third weekend of the season, and the weekend before that, I had went in there to check that place to go look for scratching and stuff because my dad hadn't been in there yet because he was going to hunt there through the week. And there was, I mean, it looked like a dirt track at the gate. There were so many tire tracks.
Yep. Yep.
And I went in there at 11 o'clock and killed that turkey in 5 minutes.
Yep.
And anybody could have done it. Like, I didn't even do like 3 full yelps.
Yep.
You know, anybody could have went in there at 11 o'clock, but I was just the one in there at 11 o'clock. Everybody else go in there at daylight, hear him gobble. He don't want to do nothing and leave.
Yep. That 100 people are at the gate, you know, hunting that morning, and 99 of them left by 9 o'clock.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just – and that goes back to that cliche saying. It's funny because you said it, but we tell the truth. People want to hunt goblin turkeys, so when they're not hearing goblin turkeys, they give up. But it's that line of – or, you know, crossing that fence of how much experience and how much dedication do you got, because I'm telling you, we've all sat here and done it too, so I'm not going to lie about it. We like to kill goblin turkeys. We've killed a lot of them that ain't gobbled till it was the time to say, if I don't sit down or if I wasn't sitting right here, that turkey wouldn't have died. And the reason being, most guys would have turned around and walked away, and the turkey would have just sat there mute, never gobbled, because they didn't give it one more. It's like fishing. One more cast. One more cast. Same scenario. When you think you're right there in the bubble and you just have this feeling, and I'm not saying every turkey hunter gets it, but some do, because I know I do, and me and you stood there. Mm-hmm. Youth season. Me and you in Washington. One more time, dude. And it's just, yep. And it's like, pow.
And that's what
I think, he's within 100. Sit down. We're doing something.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you kill a turkey. And it's like, most people don't get it. And it's, you know, they did that last yelp, and they stand there and they're like, piss on this. I'm going home. Mm-hmm. And they go home, and if you could just do like one of them funny car scenes or like movie scenes where they zoom out and they see the person walking away, and then what they were trying to achieve is just right over the hill.
That's
what it is. And that turkey sitting there just strutting real silent,
or like that
drumming.
Video you see on Facebook, that dude, he's self-filming, right? And he's self-filming, and I'm sure y'all have seen this. It's a long shot up of a roadbed, and the roadbed's all green in the middle of the hardwood.
Oh yeah, I've seen this. Yeah.
And the dude's sitting there calling, and he doesn't hear nothing.
He turns around.
Self-filming. He turns around and walks out, and whenever he turns around and walks out, the turkey, gobbler steps out into the roadbed.
Sees him and then runs off.
Off running,
if
he'd have just sat there, that bird was stepping out in curiosity, he'd have killed him just like you're supposed to in a roadbed.
It happens more times than not, and that falls back to the thing, impatience. I mean, I think that's something that, you know, I learned a little bit this year, is just be a little bit more patient. And I normally am. I'm normally a pretty patient turkey hunter, but it's also one of those things of like, man, when you know, you know, and like what you say, you got that gut feeling, and it's just one of those things. I mean, we all learn.
This is what I do hate, because I will tell people, if you can, in the hunting world in general, this ain't just turkey hunting, go with your gut. But sometimes, if you just set it to the side, trust it, but set it to the side for a minute and say, I'm going to let this play out. You'll do like we've done. We'll do like collectively what happened from turkey season to the past deer season. You'll kill that 140-inch buck. You'll kill a turkey. You'll kill, you know, whatever you're out to shoot, because you still had that gut feeling that you know you were supposed to be there, but then you're like, all right, we're still going to take the gamble, let nature take its course. And when you do that for just a minute, and you're like, 10 more minutes, 10 more minutes turns into, I'm calling somebody and FaceTiming somebody, or we're taking a picture, and we're like, yes, sir, this is what we come out here for. Yeah. Yeah. But had you not been there 10 more minutes, it's all over with.
You never know what like another thing I always play into it is, you know, the turkeys are there, and when they bust up at the end of February, they've got the pecking order. Well, they might all gobble on the limb, but you don't know who the boss is.
That's right.
So, like, opening day in South Carolina this year, you know, me and Blake got in all them Jakes, and they were, I mean, they were all like you could have shot a couple of them and stretched them to the legal, you know, like six inch beard. They were all just a bunch of bully Jakes running in big flocks. And so we knew they were there. We're walking out at 10:30, turkey starts gobbling across the river. So we sit down, and, or actually my dad and Andrew were meeting up at the truck because we were all hunting down there together, and we were going to meet up and get a game plan or whatever, because there was only Jakes on our side of the river, but they all had big gobbles, or most of them had big gobbles. So anyway, this turkey gobbles across the river, and I called Dad. I said, hey, walk down here. I said, turkey just gobbled across the river, and it was where Andrew was the at daylight. But anyway, so we start calling to him. Well, he gobbles, like, now I can't see the turkey, but he gobbles basically like all the way to the riverbank. And we're sitting there, you know, like, I don't know if this turkey will fly the river or whatever, whatever. And he flies the river, and he gobbles one time on our side of the river. So we sat down and got ready. Now, that turkey never came in. We saw him, and he stayed at like 100 yards and just kind of worked up, scared to death. Because, you know, 200 yards behind us, there's 10 Jakes that were just fighting like crazy. So, like, that turkey knew. He's like, well, I'm going to go over there, but I ain't going to gobble once I get there. But, you know, like, not knowing that, you'd have got up and left or whatever. But we all sat there. It was like, well, he probably – I don't know if he'll gobble much because them Jake's probably the reason he's across the river.
Same thing thing with the youth story. Like,
exactly. They got close enough to where they – them turkeys – we sat there and called for an hour. Them turkeys was probably coming for 45 minutes of that hour. And they got close enough. We're like, all right, we can gobble now. Because it's probably – and we never seen them. It was probably just two-year-olds running together, you know. They done got their butt whooped. They got 150 yards, and like, okay, we can gobble now.
Yeah, we're close enough.
We're close enough, we can gobble now.
Yeah. We know we're in safe territory.
But if we'd have got in my truck and drove off, they'd have been strutting in the road, and we'd have never known.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And another thing, too, and not to dive deep into this, I'm just going to hit on this quick. A lot of people don't take into consideration, too, predators. Not us as hunters, but bobcats and coyotes. Turkey's sitting there gobbling his head off. Well,
hey,
Mr. Wiley, I'm right here. You know, I'm
come
he's
just
me.
Telling us where he's at.
Yeah, he's telling everybody in the woods. Yeah, that's right. Woods, yeah. So, you know, depending on, you know, the area, if you got a lot of predators in your area,
think
bobcats,
about that next
coyotes,
time when you don't hear that turkey gobbling 100% all the time.
100%, because I mean they adapt to that. Turkeys are, you know, as year goes on, they learn stuff just like we learn stuff. You know, and that's just one of those things, you know, keep in mind. But
no, that's exactly true, because. And this will be the realness of it, in my opinion, I guess. That's why public land, in my opinion, can be like it is on the certain pressured pieces. They know what the predators are in that scenario, and besides it being actual game predators, they know when they start getting a lot of yelps and a lot of gunfire and a lot of bump traffic where people bumping them left and bumping them right. They're like, you know what? I'll gobble on the limb because that's my nature. But other than that, I'm going to shut up when I get on the ground, because about 100, 360 degrees around me, these hens gobbling, I know there ain't that many hens gobbling. Hens yelping, I know there ain't that many hens yelping around me. Not supposed to be anyway. Yeah. It ain't good here, but it's good, you know. And they just know better. Yep. I mean, I always like to paint that picture in my head, especially when I step on public. And I'll even do that on private when I know I might be surrounded by some pieces that are heavily hunted. And I'm like, well, I know Billy Earl over there sits in his ground blind, just yanks on a box call. Yeah, you got to be careful how you approach that gobbler, because he's going to be weary to a degree. 100%. And it may not always be, because some days we talk about this all the time, and this is just – I'll probably leave it at this. Some days they ain't got a good temperature, and then you go in there the next day, and Billy Earl can still be hunting, and they just hot. It's just a day-to-day thing.
And not and sometimes it's not even day-to-day. You can go in there in the morning and not hear a single turkey, nothing, this, that,
Billy Earl leaves, and then noon.
And you go in there at 9:30, and that son of a gun just choking.
Yeah, and that might be his time frame he likes to gobble.
Oh, I think me and Blake talked about this a bunch earlier in the year. A lot of people say, like, every turkey's killable, like, at some point in the year or whatever. You know, all these stories, like, people tell about, you know, I hunted, you know, Jim Bob for – all day, I killed him the last day of the season or whatever. I think every turkey is killable at some point in the day. He's gonna get the right temperature sometime between roost and roost. you know, is you just got to be there and be where he wants to be.
Yep. Yep. I mean, how hard do you really want it? I mean,
yeah.
Not in a sense of desperation. It's just how much you committed to camping, sitting down.
It ain't even that. It'd be a better terminology is how much patience you got.
Yeah.
I mean, point blank.
And that's literally can be from when you break it down. I mean, and like I said, we can move on after this, but breaking it down to, I'm using your dad for an example, with that one that stayed on that mountaintop, knowing he's not going to move a whole lot in the daytime frame, it's just a matter, are you going to be patient enough to sit in a spot that he may cross one time? But will he do it within gun range?
Yep.
Other than that, you might as well get ready to just watch a turkey cross by at the foot of the mountain and be like, eyes are closer.
Yeah.
And then when you sit at the foot of the mountain tomorrow, he crosses right where you were sitting yesterday, and you're like, God darn it.
Yeah, that's what
that's
Dad,
just a game
that's
of it,
what
maybe.
Dad did. I told that on the one that messed up last other week. But Dad hunted this turkey on another piece of ground we got in the mountains, and it's a small piece, and there wasn't nothing on it. Well, there's a big cornfield across the road, and a bunch of turkeys always stay over there. He called one from over there last year, did the same thing this year. Well, the turkey got over there and didn't get close enough before dark, so he flew up. Dad waited way after dark, crawled back out of there, and he had like a – and all the hens and all the other turkeys stayed on the other side of the road. Like this one gobbler came over to look. Well, Dad was like, well, I know he's going straight back over in the morning. Dad had like a 150-yard window
to sit in
to set up in between him and across the road where that turkey is living. So Dad set up kind of to one side that looked better, that was less thick and everything, and that turkey flew down, went to the other side of that gap, flew back across the road, started gobbling, strutting. But, like, you know, like, that's the window.
Yep.
You know, like, you know, you pick.
But
he'd
go
over every morning.
That's the beauty of turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
I go left, he goes right.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
We play
every
that game
time,
all year. 100%.
Every time. That's the beauty of turkey.
100%.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, so that was
North Carolina, South Carolina.
NCSC and all kinds of in between. You want to talk about Virginia at all, real quick, or you just want to jump into these turkey tours?
I can talk about it real quick. It ain't that much. But
I mean, quick public land bird.
Where our place is in the mountains, it's right close to the Virginia line. My uncle's got land in Virginia or whatever. I usually hunt with him. But there's a bunch of public land in that part of Virginia. I'll let you know, figure out where it's at. But there's a bunch of it.
In the mountains.
Yeah, in the mountains, west of the Blue Ridge. I've heard about it and seen it my whole life or whatever, knew it was over there, a bunch of people. You know, every year on YouTube, somebody kills a big deer over there or whatever. That's all I knew about it. So I was like, I'm going to go over and hunt, like, the last two weekends. Because Virginia stays in a week longer than
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And so anyway, I was like, I'm going to go over. So I went over there on a Saturday morning. And you can hunt public on Sundays in Virginia now. So I went over on a Saturday morning, heard a turkey. Just kind of blind luck, heard a turkey, but I was way behind him because I just got there at daylight just because I didn't know where I was going. You know, I was going to let a turkey tell me where to go or whatever. So anyway, I made a move that Sunday morning. I thought I had him beat, and this turkey is living on the top of Mount Everest in southwestern Virginia. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to have to get in there in the dark and climb the mountain and get at least level with him or higher than him. But the problem is the angle I was attacking him at was the wrong angle for where he was going. But it's the only angle I could take from where I was parking. So anyway, I got up there close to him, and I was like really close, like 100, maybe 110, 20 yards. But it was open, like it's grown up in the mountains. The mountains is usually way behind down here. It's green, but it's still like
open.
If you stand up, it's open. Mm-hmm. And so I got as close as I could, and he's just around the point of the mountain. And I'm like 50 yards from the roll. I was like, if he flies down and comes over here to look, then I got him. And so he's gobbling. I mean, he started gobbling in the dark, but he's gobbling every little bit. I start calling to him. He kind of faces my way, but he just keeps turning around. And I got a wing that I started carrying. I don't ever use it. And I used it then. And I flew down and started scratching. And he turned to me, and he stayed facing me the rest of the time. And so he started like double gobbling, triple gobbling. I was like, all right, well, I might, have something here. And this turkey is not far from the road, and this is the second to last weekend of season. So, like, I know everybody that drove by and stopped at that parking area I was at has heard him gobble and at least tried him.
Yeah, played with him.
And so I do a fly down. He's gobble, 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 gobble. And so it wasn't just a minute. I could hear him fly down, breaking limbs. You know, he's coming right to me. So I get situated, and there was a tree. I didn't tell you this earlier. There was a tree in front of me, and I don't know. There wasn't any cover on that tree, but I don't know if I'd have got to that tree. I could just see him for a split second, but I don't ever think he got over the roll. I mean, he got as far as he was wanting to go. But, you know, I'll always play that mind game unless I kill him next year, like if I could have got to that tree. But anyway.
What if?
Yeah. So I'm hit anyway. So it's like 50, 45, 50 yards to the roll of this hill. He flies like into the mountain just where I can't see him. He gobbles one time on the ground. And this is 6:30. You know, it gets daylight early now. It's like 6:20 something, 6:30. And he gobbles one time on the ground. I can hear him spit a couple times. Like he was just popping strut. He wasn't like full on drumming. And then he got, it sounded like it got a little bit closer, like I could, like I should be able to see him any minute. And I heard him spit and drum. And he drummed like two or three times. And then the last time I heard him drum, I could hear his wings dragging in the ground, or in the leaves. And he was like, I can't see him. Mm-hmm. Like he's just through the dirt right there. I mean, he's right there. And that was at 6:30 or something. I laid there till 8:15. Never gobbled again, never seen him again, never nothing.
Publicly.
And then after, you know, he never gobbled again, so I just let him, you know, be or whatever. And I got up and eased to that point where I knew he flew down. I found a turd where he, like, where he was. Like, I know exactly where he was standing. And I got down on turkey level. And to look back to where I was looking in the side of the mountain. Like, he didn't even get to where he could see to where I was and didn't see nothing. Like,
He just
wasn't going to the top of that hill.
Yeah.
And
that's publicly employed. Yeah.
And so he got as far as he was wanting to go and went the other way. So then the last Saturday, which was last Saturday, I was going to get up and go again and woke up. And I was going to go on the other side of the mountain from him. It was like a super long walk, but I know that's what I got to do to kill him. That's what I'm going to do opening day next year because I know he's going to be right in that general area. If the old age don't get him, but I was going to do that, and I woke up super early to get in there in the dark, and I heard thunder, and I looked on my radar, and it was like thundering and lightning, yellow and red on the radar where he was at, where, you know, where that land was at, and it was like all the way to the end of Virginia, like on into Kentucky and Tennessee. So I knew it was going to be raining and lightning and way past daylight.
Snooze.
And so I turned my alarms off and rolled back over. So that was the end of my turkey season. Yeah. I woke up at 9:00. So
I killed him in my dream.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, I was holding him by the neck in my dreams. But that was Virginia. So I'll definitely be back over there. And I did find in the midst of all those two weekends, I found a bunch of good spots that because like even I've hunted in the mountains my whole life. It's either like right at dark or right at daylight. Like when you get late season in the mountains, I know we just talked about that other stuff for like 30 minutes, but you get late season in the mountains, it's either daylight or dark. They don't do nothing in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
I've never, late season, that is, I've killed them all times of the day up there, like in April. When you get in May, it's either you shoot them when their feet hit the ground or you know where they're going. Yeah. Cause they just shut down or whatever. But I found a bunch of good spots, so I'll be there next year. So that was the end of my season.
Virginia.
Blue Ridge Mountain turkeys.
Yeah, so now we're going to – it's on – we still got on time. We're going to talk about these turkey tours. Yeah, because I want to get up there with you. You know, I went up there and deer hunting with you a couple of times. Yeah. I'd like to get up there and turkey hunt because talking about that before we jump into them turkey tours. You know,
that's what I was telling you. I mean – it is so much land.
Oh, yeah.
And I went over there, and I ain't never been there before in my life. I literally parked my truck, got out, shut the door, and there's a turkey gobbling. And it is 36 minutes from our cabin. And I was like, why in the world have I never been here?
Yeah.
Virginia gives me three tags, and there is thousands of acres.
And the first time
you And that's the first time I've ever been there. I was like, man, I'm an idiot. I ought to be over here every year.
I got one more day to hunt. That's
exactly.
Yeah, so on to the turkey tours. Washington. So me and Caleb, actually, leading up to this, I didn't know nothing about it. I got a phone call like a Friday evening. He got talking about an upcoming event. And we had just talked about going out there in general. We didn't have nothing to really base it off of, but it kind of worked out. So he
to start it off too, we was being sneaky with Kansas. We was like, oh yeah, we might go to Kansas. Well, yeah, this that week,
see, I never whatever, mentioned that thing. Yeah. I still got a tag. I can still go out there. I just don't have nowhere to go. Like their season don't end until May 31st. I still got a Kansas tag.
Y'all lose your land out there? You ain't got nowhere to go.
No, when they went as soon as we got back. And I mean, I was just being cordial to my wife and my kids. I mean, I'd been gone for 4 days. I was all the way across the country. And I was like, as soon as I got back, I took off that Monday because we were kind of slow at work. It had been raining here. And I was like, or I was sitting there in the office, and Mom was like, we just booked our flights for Kansas. We're going to leave Thursday. And I'm like, yeah, no. I just got back. Like, I'm good. Like, and younger me, no kids, you know, maybe engaged or something, or, you know, married and just no kids. Sure, I'll go. You know, heck, I might just take Sarah with me to go, so we'll go. Nah, dude, I was burnt out. I was like, and not burnt out like, I was done turkey hunting in a sense of like 4 days on a 3-hour time zone difference. Yeah. And we were living off pure adrenaline, no meals, nicotine and energy drinks. And I mean, it was rough. So I was like, I can't do this.
It took us a week to get back adjusted.
Oh, 100%.
And it was, I mean, you said it, I said it. Well, you know, we get up in the mornings, go to work. Go throughout our day, come home, might be a little tired, might sit on the couch, take a cat nap, and wake up and go about the rest of our evening, go to bed. Mm-hmm. But me and you both said it. I mean, heck, it was some days during the week following, I chose sleep over lunch. You know, oh, we got 30 minutes for lunch. I'm going to go ahead and just take me a nap.
It was terrible, man. But anyway, they did that, like you was talking about with Kansas, because they didn't kind of know. And at that point, just to be quite honest with you, I didn't know. And they still couldn't make up their mind. I knew they were going to go in May, but I didn't know when in May. And that's, I was right, like, well, whatever. If they're not going to pick something, I'll just play it out by ear. Because he was wanting to go with me anyway. Mm-hmm. And they always go to the Derby every year. So he was like, we got to kind of plan it on that. He's like, if not, it's no big deal.
So did you get a Kansas tag this year?
No, I didn't.
He was just going
to go tag along, do whatever.
Video, whatever.
Yeah.
I just didn't know
if you got one.
Because see, at the time, and I've said this about on the last two episodes, it was just me and Dad that had a tag. So when they went, it was Dad, Jim, and Dad. I mean, I said Dad twice. It was Mom, Jim, and Dad. And he was the only one hunting turkeys. So they were there to help you start deer stuff, you know, re-prepping blinds, getting camera batteries charged up. And Dad was turkey hunting when he had time. And when he took time off, you know, if he didn't hunt midday, he was just helping out. So that was kind of how that went down. Well, anyway, he called me. He was like, hey.
This is a Friday before we left.
Yeah.
We're leaving on a Wednesday night.
And he called me up and was just like, he's like, man, that – you seen them boys, you know, they start, you know, turkey season coming out there in Washington. He's like, they starting to kill a bunch of turkeys, you know. And I was like, yeah, it'd be kind of cool, you know, go out there and hunt. I was like, I like to get this slam done, you know. I mean, I really want to get out there. And I was more worried, on a side note, that was going to be something that would never happen, just to go out there, because, again, that's all the way across the country, a little bit different time zone. It ain't like, you know, you take a trip to Florida, it's on the same time zone, and Kansas is an hour different.
You can't hop in a truck and go ride over there, you know.
Yeah.
No, 30 hours away.
And the funny part about it is, some of the places I always thought I would kill a Merriam would be closer states, you know, like Colorado or, you know, lower Nebraska or something, because it's not only that it's drivable, the time zone's a little more fair to you, even though Colorado jumps into that mountain time zone, so it's a different time zone than Kansas. Nebraska's on the same time zone. So anyway, he got talking about that, and then he just flat out was like, look, I can't keep it a secret no more. We're going to Washington. He's like, we're leaving Wednesday, we're leaving Thursday. And I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, we're bailing out. He's like, we're going. I was lining this trip up. We're going, you know, we just got to get our stuff and we get out there. We're going to go hang out with the guys with Pacific Calls, you know, get lined up. They're going to do a turkey tour where they, you know, all this money goes back to NWTF. We're going to participate in it, but we're going just to have fun for ourselves. That's just a side quest.
We're going to get you a Merriam.
Yeah, that was just a side quest where I got to meet those guys and hang out with them and kind of see how they do it over in the West Coast.
And I did my due diligence. I called J-Dub, you know, about a month prior, and I called Sarah. Yeah. I called Sarah first. I said, hey, what you got planned for this weekend? Yeah. She said nothing. I said, all right, well, just pretend like you got plans and let Carson know he can't plan anything because he's got to be home.
Yeah.
And then I called J-Dub, hey.
And I'll be honest.
He's going to be off work this weekend.
Can Carson get off work today? He's like, yeah, we can probably work something out. Well, luckily, the way it all panned out, it started raining here the day we left and didn't stop for four or five days.
Yeah,
you know?
So it was gone on a good time frame.
Yeah, so it all worked out.
But now what's funny, though, was leading up to this, I wasn't like in a calling quits moment, but season had already been kind of rough. And we were, and I speak for both of us, whether I'm putting words in his mouth or not. He knew about it, but I don't know if that made it any more happy for him in the sense of, like, we were kind of down in the dumps of how the season was going here in the Southeast. We were like, dude, this is getting kind of crappy. Like, we need to kill a turkey. Like,
well, and I think you're right at that point of the season where it's like, all right, we done hunted them. Like, this next weekend, we going to kill a turkey. Now, he didn't know that, you know,
it was going to be in Washington.
Right. So we had already made up plan. Oh, yeah, we're going to go down here or whatever. And you know, we got them better off. So we're going into a hunt. But we got our tail whip the first week of the season. You know, we're going into the second week of the season. And, you know, we got a big question mark. We thought we was turkey hunters. Yeah. You know, we was just turkey watchers. So, you know, the first 7 days.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, and I'm going to kind of, you know, peck through this kind of quick. But we get to Washington. You know, all that gets lined up. We get to Washington. We get out there first day. We go to a place where he ended up finishing his Grand Slam. We go there, and he's like, we'll go here and we'll start. And we had a big mindset. We were still going to trick public because it's a whole different scenario. And like I said, I'm not going to dive on this too deep. We're going to try to wrap this thing up. But, you know, we had that situation there to know that public was an easy opportunity for us in Washington along with, you know, access to private. Because, like I said before, it's a little different scenario versus here. And out there, people turkey hunt out there, but it's not a heritage thing like it is here where everybody you knock on their door, it's somebody already hunts here. A lot of people are like, sure, go ahead. I don't really care. You know, nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. Have a good time. So, and I say that not to make it where everybody needs to fly out there and be like, hunt it all up. Cause we did get a lot of no's, absolutely a lot more no's than yeses, but it's just different world.
It's
so,
less of a
yeah.
Thing.
So we go to a place he had permission to hunt. We get set up. And again, these are all YouTube videos, and I want to talk about this one and the Idaho one, and I'll just, well, you know, if we have to do another podcast, we'll do another one, because this one's getting stretched on time. But we get there, and we get to this farm, and the part that blows my mind is the fact that it's 4:45 in the morning, it's breaking daylight, and there's turkeys gobbling. 4:45 a.m., and there's turkeys gobbling.
So to build the picture, because we got to go, I mean, we can't cut this short, because, I mean, this is the coolest thing. Whether we cut this into two different podcasts, and y'all can listen to this part.
Yeah, we can.
So I'm going to add some detail in here. So we get there. Long story short, Carson's able to get off of work. We leave Wednesday afternoon. I booked the flights, you know, about 2 hours before we left. He still don't know that, but whatever. Either way, we made it there. We killed a turkey. Right, so we get there. I had everything booked. Airbnb booked, car rental booked, the whole nine yards. I got all my ducks in pecking order because I didn't know whenever we was going to be able to leave until he said so. Or actually, I did it Tuesday night.
Yeah,
I didn't do it
Wednesday
night. Whatever.
That's right.
So long story short, we get there, and our flight was landing at 8:50 on Washington time. Right, so it's 11:50 here.
Yeah,
at 8:43, wheels hit the ground, and as soon as your phone cuts on in the airplane, you start getting stuff. Your rental car booking has been canceled, such as us. So now we're like, oh crap, you know, what in the world we go, you know. So, long story short, we land, we end up in a RAV4, an hour and a half away from where we're going to stay. Keep in mind, I hadn't been to this place in 2 years, you know, and so 2023 was the last time I went to this place. Well, prior to us going there, I had texted the landowner that I had shot my turkey on. I said, hey, you know, I'm coming into town for these next 4 days. Would you mind if we came over and turkey hunt? You know, we'd start hunting on Thursday morning, you know, yada, yada. He was like, yeah, y'all go right ahead. So we hop in a RAV4. We head up. We stop, get our license at Walmart after we, you know, get the rental car or whatnot. As soon as we grab our tags at Walmart, we head up. And when you book an Airbnb, they don't give you the exact address till after you book it. Well, I booked it up in an area that was close, but I didn't know, you know, where exactly it was. I just knew it was in the general vicinity. Well, lo and behold, it was literally at the end of the road was the Airbnb, and at the other end of the road was where we was turkey hunting at. And so it's just one of those things where it all worked out right. Well, we get there, you know, first light, and like what you said, at 4:45, and you're talking, you know, there's turkeys gobbling to our right, there's turkeys gobbling to our left. We didn't know what was going on. Yeah, I mean, that was the scenario was, we ain't been there in 2 years, first time on a piece of property at daylight in the morning time. We didn't know what was happening. You know, we didn't know if there was 100 turkeys there or no turkeys there. The landowner was like, maybe whatever. You know, I've seen a few here and there, but not seeing them every day. That's what he said. So you can pick it up from there. That's the prime detail you leave out. Yeah. Leave out.
No, yeah, and that and the 4:45 a.m. was the part that just blew my mind, because like I said, we step out of the car and it's like, well, I ain't never seen this before, but this is cool, you know. And then on top of that, you come from the countryside we come from, and you hear what Eastern sounds like, and then turn around here, Merriam, and I'm like, dang, Caleb, I think we're surrounded by Jakes.
It's Jakes. We ain't going after them.
And it's not really Jakes. So at first, you know, you get out and you hear all that, and it's like, all right, well, we got to figure out somewhere to go. And again, I don't know nothing about this deal. So when he jumps in the scenario, he's like, we need to go right here, and we'll get set up on this hillside. So we get back there, and as time goes on, and it ain't made much more time into the morning. About 4:45, we were already, you know, out of the house. We were at the place we needed to be, right at almost 5 o'clock.
We did more, you know, I mean, it's the first time being there. I knew in my head whenever we stepped out, and I had like a game plan for us.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that this is where we needed to go. Well, I knew that where I had shot my turkey at, that's a good spot. Turkeys travel through there. They mill around in there. It's kind of some, you know, smaller pine trees, whatever. Well, we're sitting there, and we got all those turkeys gobbling down at the bottom, but we heard that one up the top of the hill, and he was the only one gobbling by himself. So we just went, and all we did was went and stood right in the middle of them. We didn't go directly towards him. We didn't go directly towards the other. We just went and kind of stood right in the middle of him and listened. And I'll be honest, we're just sitting there with our hands in our pockets, more or less, you know, just listening, because it's 5:15 at this point, you know, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, whoa, you know, right here.
Yeah.
And so we sit down, and keep in mind, you know, it ain't like North Carolina, South Carolina. It's probably a little bit like, you know, North Carolina mountains where you hunt a lot, Evan, but it ain't like, you know, what we're, you know, used to hunting, obviously.
Ain't a flat land.
No. So we're sitting here, and if you was a bowling ball, you'd end up a mile away, you know, and so it was one of those things. We're sitting there on that hill and hear that turkey gobble, and we yelped. I think I yelped. Just hey, I'm right here. You got my attention. Do I have yours, kind of thing?
Yeah.
He gobbled. We sat down, and we sat down on two trees, you know, two to the right, two to the left, whatever. Carson's on the gun, obviously, if it first rolling. And I'll let you pick it up from there, because you got to see the part that I didn't, because I was kind of face down the hill. You was face catty-cornered.
Yeah, so when we got set down, and the turkey had gobbled, so we sat down, we're like, we got to sit down now. Like, it was a hill in between us, and it went uphill behind us, and we're sitting on the side of this hill, and we sit in this little pocket of ponderosas. And there's an old, like, logging road. It might have been an old cow road or something, but it went up the side of that mountain. And I'm sitting there, and Caleb is sitting to my left, but he's sitting in the way I know this turkey has to come down the hill to shoot him. I'm not going to shoot behind us, and I never do. The video shows it. But he's sitting off to me the way he films. Everything was perfectly fine. And I'm sitting there, and I swear I heard something spit and something drumming. I look up on the hill, and he's sitting up on top of that hill right at the head of that logging road, just beautiful as he could be. And he gobbles one time really loud, and I'm like, there he is. And I swore he was going to come right down the pipe and come right down that road.
And walk right across my tiptoes.
If he would have done that, he'd have walked right, I'm talking right by Caleb. And he comes down over the edge of the hill. And, I mean, I'm saying it's just as fast as it happened, because this is how fast it happened. He comes off that hill, and he comes off that hill quick. And then he, like, catches a break, like, wait a minute, something ain't right. Because he can see plumb to the bottom of the hill.
But he can't see no hint.
Correct. And so when he comes over the edge of that hill, he stops and gets on that knoll. Well, that's when he started putting. And in the video, you can hear Caleb say some stuff like, you know, because I keep saying I see him and this and that and the other. And we sound like we're talking loud, but that mic I got, I ain't going to lie, it picks up really good audio. And he's like, you know, do you see him? Like, don't move, just sit still. And I'm like, dude, I don't think he sees us. It's like, he just knows something ain't right, because he knows where they should be, but he's not. He can hear him, and them hands down the bottom are still going.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't see what I need to see. Well, he finally comes down the edge of that hill, and when he gets to the right side, I just showed Evan the video for all this started. He putts like 7 times. Gobbles one more time, and Kev's like, you're on him? And I'm like, yeah, I see him. Boom! And I shoot him. And first marry him down like that, and we pull our phones out.
5:57,
and I killed the first one.
And the funny thing, I told this in the one that didn't air. So I had texted Carson Wednesday night, because, like, I hadn't talked to you since.
Yeah, this is the funny part. We'll end on this right here.
Yeah,
we're going to have to do a part two on this, just so y'all know. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So anyway, I talked to Carson like that Saturday or something, and y'all were talking about, like, you know, whenever y'all had went Mount Pleasant or whatever.
I told you this was my plan the whole time.
Yeah. And so I didn't know nothing about it. I mean, you know, obviously he didn't know nothing about it till then, or until the weekend. And so I texted him Wednesday night because, like, you know, we'd been behind on these podcasts, and I wasn't working out of town. So I was like, hey, I just texted, I don't even remember what I typed, but I was like, hey, I'm home this week if you want to do a podcast, like, sometime I'm not out of town. And because I hadn't talked to him or seen him or anything, and he never texted me back. But I texted him late, and usually, you know, he's putting the kids to bed or whatever. Like, well, he'll text me back in the morning. I never heard nothing again that morning, and it's because y'all didn't have no signal out there. Well, then me and Blake work together, that y'all probably learned over this podcast or whatever. So me and Blake are down in Lancaster, South Carolina working, and it's like whatever the time difference is, like, you know, 10:30 or whatever. Like, by the time it's sent, because I called y'all and y'all were like already in town or whatever, mm-hmm. when I talked to y'all on the phone.
Yeah.
But anyway, I get a freaking Snapchat that said Carson's holding a white feather turkey by the neck. And he's like, "Good morning from Washington," and I'm like, "Well, God Almighty,
someone got teleported overnight.
Yeah, he's across the country."
Yeah, that was my grand plan. But
yeah,
yeah, that was the first one to Washington. Like I said, we're gonna turn this thing into a 2-part because I know the North Carolina, South Carolina part got carried away, but. We got a good bit to talk about these turkey tours. Yeah, I don't want to rush through them.
We don't want to cut this short.
No.
He's got some good stories to tell.
You had a good point there. That, and then sometimes the kids wake up too. Sarah's texting me. So, but we're gonna wrap this up on this one for part one of, I'm going to call this 2025 turkey season. We'll just call it that, cumulative talk. And we're going to get this one wrapped up, and we'll jump in on the next one. And hopefully, if you can make it, we'll get you back on here to finish this out. Because we'll try to record it this week. But I may go ahead and drop this one, and then we'll go ahead and get you guys a part two put out there. So, I'm Carson.
I'm Evan.
I'm Caleb.
And we'll see you on the next one.